This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Good morning. Somewhat buried in an avalanche of big recent news stories was a U.S. Supreme Court decision that upheld the affirmative action admissions policies at the University of Texas. That admissions policy had been challenged by a white student, and the 4-3 decision that upheld the school's policy of considering race and ethnicity in deciding which students gained admission was a bit of a surprise, since it was Justice Anthony Kennedy, who had never before backed an affirmative action policy, backing this one in this case. And joining us now for more on what the decision could mean going forward is Tom Sullivan, president of the University of Vermont. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
My pleasure.
Now, you had a dual interest in this case as president of UVM, obviously, but you're also a lawyer, so I'm sure you were fascinated by this on a legal level. Remind us first, what was the case that the white student was making in challenging the University of Texas admission policy? Why was she against it?
Ms. Fisher was arguing before the court that it was unconstitutional under the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment to the Constitution for her to be denied admission to the University of Texas because she asserted that students of color were being enrolled over her and therefore the admissions decisions were treating her unconstitutionally and unfairly.
Now, as I understand the University of Texas policy, they grant admission to roughly the top 10% of students, and then after that, race and ethnicity is considered. Is that correct?
Yes, they had a 10% rule which had been established by the Texas legislature, which said that every student who graduated from a Texas high school in the top 10% of his or her class was automatically admitted to the University of Texas. That was about two-thirds of the class. And then they turned to another process to fill out the class, which was called a more holistic approach, where they looked at all the factors and indications, including race.
So in ruling against Ms. Fisher, what was the U.S. Supreme Court saying?
The court said that it is constitutionally permissible for public and, by association, private universities to take race into account. This is called race consciousness. Assuming that the schools passed a certain test, a 3- or 4-prong test, in order to be able to reach the constitutionally accepted result.
Now, what is the University of Vermont's policy when it comes to admission and affirmative action?
We use the same approach as Texas did in the second, the so-called holistic approach. That is to say, in every one of our applications, we look at everything holistic on the application. We take into account grade point, standardized test, leadership, courses taken, rigor of courses taken, educational and socioeconomic backgrounds.
Now, in writing his opinion that upheld this policy, Justice Kennedy, Anthony Kennedy, did warn, in a way, that not all affirmative action cases would necessarily be decided as this one was. How do you see the long-term implications stemming from this one case and this one decision?
The court set out once again, and this is about the fourth or fifth case now in the last several years, set out a test or a pathway, and the institution that is sued has to be able to show a compelling case of why they're taking race into account. That is to say that there's a substantial connection for the need to have race considered to meet the institution's goals and mission. That the second part of that is that you could not achieve the diversity goals that you seek by any other means. You've tried them. They have not worked. Third, that the proposal that the university is using is narrowly tailored to meet its educational goals. And fourth, that you're balancing all of these interests to try to achieve the university's mission and goals. So all four of those tests must be met before the court is going to give deference to the judgment of the individual institution.
But roughly speaking, if those four things that you mentioned are met, it looks like it would be positive for most affirmative action policies in most schools going forward if they meet that criteria.
That's what the majority opinion has said, yes, and more clearly and carefully than perhaps it has done in the previous other three cases.
President Sullivan, some states, including New Hampshire, I believe, have banned affirmative action policies from their state schools entirely. What do you say to those who argue that race should not be a deciding factor at all when it comes to deciding which students get admitted to college, that doing so goes against the idea that such a decision should be entirely colorblind.
Well, we don't live in a colorblind society, unfortunately, today. That's the goal that I think our society is on a course to achieve, but we're not there yet. And as Justice Kennedy and the majority in this case has said, once you've met the criteria that I just mentioned, then the court gives deference or discretion to the institution to be able to manage its own purpose and mission as it sees fit within these constitutional parameters. Remember that what the court is saying is that you have a constitutional discretion here. It is not constitutionally mandated. So those states that have prohibitions, that's by state policy. This new decision, I think, will force state officials to relook at those prohibitions now that the court has said firmly and clearly again that this is constitutionally within the discretion of the university as long as these conditions have been met.
And briefly, President Sullivan, one of the fascinating things about this case was that Justice Kagan had to recuse herself from it because she had worked as a solicitor general on this very case. So the ruling was 4-3. If the very conservative Justice Antonin Scalia were still alive, it's a fair bet to say he would have ruled for the plaintiff here. And what do you think the long-term political implications of this case may be?
Well, I think we have a majority of the court, and we should be mindful, while there were four justices in the majority here, Justice Kagan is recused only for this case, and she is a clear vote for affirmative action. So actually, there are now five justices firmly supporting affirmative action going forward in cases in the future.
Tom Sullivan is the president of the University of Vermont. Thank you so much for speaking with us this morning.
My pleasure to be with you, Mitch.